Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. We'll read the entire psalm together, verses 1 through 6. And we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but way of the ungodly shall perish. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence. Lord, thank you for our church. Come here and we have the Holy Spirit. We have your presence. We have the love of the brethren here, and yet we still stand before you needy. We're still sinners, still in need of teaching and training to get us ready to reach others and so that we're ready for heaven someday. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. May we take to heart what is said in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read to you again just a couple of verses from Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 is one of the most famous psalms, of course, and you've heard it time and time again. But for those of you who have not, listen very carefully. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." I want you to listen to me, if you will, for a moment. I want immediately to draw your attention to the fact that the Bible here talks about a tree that's planted. A tree that's planted. Oh, something that Mrs. Owens and I like to do is we have a Honda 350 four-wheeler. And when time allows, on maybe a late afternoon on a Saturday, she and I will take a four-wheeler ride. We live out in Jaredstown. We had a visitor from Jaredstown. If you ever heard someone coming by on a four-wheeler, that was probably my wife and I. Streak. It's, 350 will get up and go, even with us on it. And so we'll get on that Honda four-wheeler, and we'll take a ride. We enjoy doing it. She puts on a jean skirt, a nice full jean skirt, and she's modest. And then I put my jean skirt on, and... we'll go out and we'll take a four-wheeler ride. We go back into our subdivision. And the other day we were traveling through the subdivision there, and we just look at the sights and run from the dogs that want to bite us and all that sort of thing. We were passing through this little spot, and my wife said, "Look at that, look at that." And she was all excited, and I thought surely she'd seen a great big old buck. And then come to find out it was nothing but a tree. You know, what excites her and what excites me are two totally different things. While I'm searching and I'm looking for a rack and brown and I'm looking for a white tail, and I look over and I said, "What is it? What's so important?" She said, "Look at that tree." And I thought, "Oh, good night. This is West Virginia. There are trees everywhere. There are trees everywhere." But what it was, she looked over, and my wife loves a tree called the weeping willow tree. Someone in our subdivision had planted a weeping willow tree, and you could see the fresh soil around it, and you could see that they'd try to protect it from the deer coming over and wanting to nibble away at all of its buds. And she was so excited about the planting of that tree, and she said, "One of these days I'm going to get me a weeping willow tree." And she'd been telling me that for years. She just said, "I want a weeping willow tree." She thinks that may be the most beautiful of all the trees, and I wouldn't disagree with her, but it's still not as important as the deer that I saw in my front yard this morning. It was good. Somebody had planted that weeping willow tree, and this next year I'm going to plant that deer. She was excited about that tree. When I heard her make those comments, I had been studying in my Bible some, and I, of course, had read through the Psalms, and in so doing, I was reminded of the Bible talking about you and I. God kind of compares us to trees in Psalm chapter 1, and he talks about how if we'll do certain things, we will be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. He told us there's some things that we can do to help ourselves be that prosperous tree that's planted by rivers of water. He also tells us in Psalm chapter 1 of some of the things that we should not do if we want to be a tree that's planted by rivers of water. Now, I did something. The word planted there, it really interested me. I wanted to figure out what is that all about? The word planted, there's more to it than what we might think. Now, let me give you the title of my sermon today. The title of my sermon is this: Planted on Purpose. Planted on Purpose. The word planted here in your Bible, the Hebrew word is shawthal, shawthal. It means this tree that it's talking about here is planted on purpose. This tree that the Bible speaks of is comparing a tree to you or to me. This tree was planted on purpose. This isn't a tree that was just growing in the wild. You see, when I glanced off into the woods while Mrs. Owens and I were taking our four-wheeler ride, I saw all sorts of trees that had just grown naturally. You know, an acorn had fallen and a tree had taken root, but there's a difference. The tree that she saw was planted on purpose. A weeping willow tree did not grow naturally in our subdivision. Someone had said, I'm going to plant that tree, and I want that tree to take root, and I'm planting it on purpose. So when God here in the book of Psalms is talking about someone that's being planted by the rivers of water, he's not just talking about a tree that just happened to start growing. He is saying here, this is happening on purpose. Just the word planted in this passage of Scripture. When you read it, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted. In other words, someone is taking the time to plant that tree. Now, folks, let me tell you about you and about me. We need to get planted on purpose. Psalm chapter 1 teaches us how to be prosperous. It compares you and I to a tree, and it talks about the prosperity of a Christian. It talks about whatsoever we do can be prosperous. Now, let me tell you something. A tree cannot be prosperous unless it's been planted. That tree's got to be planted if it's going to be prosperous. And so, you know, the word prosperity interests all of us. I mean, everybody wants prosperity. Hey, you can prosper in your Sunday school class, and you can prosper in your church, and you can prosper in your home, and you can prosper in your ministry and prosper at your job, and you can have prosperity with your family. You can have prosperity in this world. And there are some prerequisites. Now, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to you about some things that God said, if we'll do them, we can be a prosperous tree. But my whole purpose here is not just to get you to the prosperity. I want you to understand something. You can't get to the prosperity until you are planted. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and he shall be like a tree planted. What's that mean? On purpose. Somebody on purpose has planted themselves. Then it says, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, God said there are some prerequisites to being planted, or there's some things that would hinder you being planted. But if we can get you to be planted on purpose, then you can enjoy prosperity. And if you read the verse over and over again, and some of you, I hope after I give you the message of the day, you'll look at Psalm chapter 1 and you'll take a good look at what I'm saying, and you'll see it to be very, very true. So let me tell you some things that will help you to be planted, which will lead to prosperity. First of all, you should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's what it says here. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, folks, that's saying to you, the word blessed there would be somewhat equal to our word happy. Those of you that seek counsel from the ungodly, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be happy. The ungodly do not have the answer to your problem. God has the answer to your problem. Now, remember, we're trying to head toward this thing of being planted on purpose. Why? Because that will lead us to prosperity. But God said a prerequisite to being planted is that you should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, it says, blessed is the man. In other words, happy is the person that's not seeking their counsel from the world. Happy is the person that's not seeking their counsel from the lost. Happy is the person that's not seeking their counsel from the kind of person that won't go by the Bible, won't live the Bible. Look, we shouldn't seek our counsel from the world or the lost, but not only that, you better be careful what kind of Christians you seek your counsel from. You should be careful. Hey, if you're going to seek counsel from a Christian, you better find you a red hot, sold out, dedicated, Bible believing, Bible living counselor.
Amen.
They then can lead you into the path of righteousness. But you're not going to be happy. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to run from piece of advice to piece of advice, never being happy, never finding the solution, and never being planted. Because God said, the people that will do what I say, they will find themselves planted on purpose. And once they're planted on purpose, God said, I will then help them to become prosperous, but they're not going to be happy unless they do what I tell them. Don't seek counsel from backslidden saved people. There are some people that are saved, but they're backslidden. You just think about the people you're talking with or the people you're getting advice from. Just find out, what kind of church do they go to? Do they read their Bible? Do they pray? Do they ever win anybody to Jesus Christ? Do they tithe?
Yes, sir.
You see, seeking counsel from the backslidden or seeking counsel from the unsaved is almost like a tree striking up a friendship with a termite.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's going to eat away at you.
Yes, sir.
And it will hinder you from being planted. See, remember, the Bible, he gives us some prerequisites. And in the midst of the prerequisite, a transitional opportunity is this. And he shall be like a tree planted. So God said, you don't get with the ungodly for your counsel and your advice. And if you don't do that, you have a chance to be planted. Why? Then you'll see prosperity. So, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, it says this. It goes on in Psalm 1:1. It says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Notice the progression. First of all, you're walking along with some ungodly people. The Bible says we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Talk about walking around and casually moving and getting advice from the ungodly. Now, you've gotten to the point where you have stopped walking and you're standing. So now you're getting a little more comfortable with the ungodly. And it says you're not to stand in the way of sinners. So now we're not just listening. Now we're running around with, we're making friends with these ungodly or the carnal Christian. So it says we're going to hinder ourselves from being planted. You'll hinder yourself from being planted, and you got to be planted on purpose to get to prosperity. That's going to happen if you seek counsel from the ungodly. It's going to happen if you have friendships in the world. Watch the unequal yoke. That's what the Bible's telling us here. Watch who you're yoking up with. Watch who you're spending time with on the telephone. Watch who it is that you're going out to spend your casual time with. I hate to tell you, those of you that are new Christians, what you ought to do is you ought to be building friendships in the church. Now, the church is not perfect by any means. This group of people is not perfect. But people that won't go to church and people, you wouldn't believe. You would not believe the way people out there think they're Christians, but the way they behave really does not reflect Christianity. Somebody recently, they didn't know that I could hear somebody else was having a conversation with them on the phone. And I didn't mean to be eavesdropping, but this person on the other end, they claimed to be a good Christian. I heard them cussing and fuming. They had no idea. I walked away. I thought, my goodness. Now, the person that hung up the phone on my end said, well, that's one of my friends. They call themselves Christian. Now, folks, listen to me. Christianity is not just a label. Christianity is a lifestyle. And God said, if you're going to be planted, you've got to get around the right kind of people. Hey, businessmen, watch yoking up with the lost. Watch that now. Watch that. Hey, don't let your kids start friendships with carnal Christians and protect your kids from running with the lost. You see, God said, if you want to be planted,
You're to be planted on purpose. But if you want to get to prosperity, you've got to be planted. But he said you'll never be planted if you're seeking counsel from the ungodly. You'll never be planted if you're now standing around and fellowshipping with the lost or fellowshipping with saved people that are phony. They're not really Christian. Hey, look, there are some saved people that you shouldn't be spending time with. There are some saved people. They say they're saved. They say they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I can't judge whether they're saved or not, but I can tell you this. If they are saved, they are pathetic examples of Christianity, and we already even separate from those kind of people. I'm not talking about being unkind. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm talking about separating. Why? You will never be planted unless you separate from the people that are not right with God. You see, running around with and having friends that don't really love the Lord is just like inviting a woodpecker into the branches of your tree. You're a tree. You want your tree to be strong. You don't need the termites of ungodly counsel. You don't need the woodpecker of the wrong kinds of friendships in your life. Why? It hinders your planting. God wants us planted on purpose. Number three, the Bible says in Psalm 1:1, it says, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." What does that mean? God's telling us something else that will keep us from being planted. He's telling us you're not going to be happy until you're planted, because you're not going to be happy until you're prosperous. There are some things that will keep you from being prosperous. Whatever that is going to keep you from being planted. And he's telling us, don't get your counsel from the ungodly. Don't run with the wrong kind of friends. Don't get comfortable with the wrong kind of people. Now he says, and don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Again, notice the progression. Somebody was walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Then they got comfortable enough. They started standing around and spending casual time with the ungodly. Now it says they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now they've actually kicked back. They invite these people to their home. They go out to eat with these kind of people. They sit with them at lunch. Now they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Look, and you say, what's it talking about? Talk about critical people. You won't be planted if you're sitting around with critical people. You won't be planted if you're sitting around with evil people. You won't be planted if you're sitting around and spending time with gossips and backbiters and evil people and vengeful people. It's not going to happen, folks. You'll never be planted. God is saying you need to be planted on purpose. And then he goes back and he says, let me show you how to plant yourself. Do not spend time seeking counsel from the ungodly. Do not build friendships with people that are not right with God. Do not sit around with the critical, negative, backbiting, gossiping, evil, attacking kind of people. Don't do that, he said, or you'll never be planted. Yeah, there's a sermon that we're making available to you today at the back table. It's called "You Can't Regather the Feathers." In that sermon, I've already kind of explained it to you. I took a great big feather pillow. I opened it up. Any mother in here who's ever had a child tear a feather pillow open at home and spread it all over the place, she was not a happy mother. You'll just find them forever. When I preached the sermon, I showed how our gossip and our negative and our criticism, it begins to flow. And the criticism is like those feathers. And I started spreading feathers all over the auditorium. Our custodians were having a baby. And that's Stephen Davis. Having a baby when he found, said, watch me throwing those things all over the place. I went outside and started throwing feathers all over the place outside. You know, some of those feathers are still blowing somewhere. Because you can't regather that. And that's what happens when we're negative and we talk bad and we talk about other people. We spread that. And God said, you'll never be planted until you can settle down and protect your ears so you don't hear what you should not hear, and protect your mouth so you do not say what you should not say. You'll never be planted. And if you're never planted, you're never going to prosper. You see, God said, I want you to be planted. How? Planted on purpose. Now, how do you get planted on purpose? You on purpose say, I will not seek counsel from the ungodly. And then planted on purpose, what will I do? I will on purpose pick friends that are the right kind of godly, dedicated, soul-winning, sold-out kind of people. And I will on purpose make sure that I don't sit around and listen to gossip and sit around and criticize and sit around and try to stir up evil or bad about people. You'll never be planted unless you do that. God said, you got to do it. You got to do it on purpose. Then he said, there are some things that you should do. He said, now, if you want to be planted, the three things I just taught you, those things you should not do. Then he talked about a couple things you should do if you want to be planted. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2, he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. What's it talking about? The word law there, the law of the Lord, would be equivalent to the Bible. God is saying, if you want to be planted, I gave you three things not to do. Now, let me give you a couple things you should do. One of which is you have got to delight in the law of God. You need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. Now, I'll tell you what some of you need to do. Instead of reading some of the trash you read, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. The Bible says if there are things out there that are just and pure and right and wholesome, hey, think on those things. Some of you think on the wrong things because you read the wrong things. And if you just start reading the right thing, you wouldn't be thinking on the wrong things. And you're not planted. You're unstable. You're unstable. And you know you are. I mean, your spirit's unstable, your attitude's unstable. You are not planted in life. Why? Because you're seeking your counsel from the ungodly. You're standing in the way of sinners. You are spending your time sitting in the seat of the scornful. God said, don't do any of that. If you want to be planted and planted on purpose, he said, get in your Bible and stay in your Bible. Believe the Bible. Live the Bible. You won't be planted as a Christian until you get the negative out of your life and the positive of the Word of God in your life. Are you here looking for stability? Are you here and you say, Brother Owens, my marriage, it's up and down. And my relationship with my kids, it's up and down. And my Christianity, it's up and down. Hey, let me tell you what you do. Plant yourself. Get yourself planted. Well, how do I do that? Well, get rid of some of that evil in your life and start, hey, you just stop seeking counsel from the lost and the carnal and get away from some of those bad friendships. You make sure you're not sitting around talking and looking and scraping up evil about people and get into the Word of God. And God said, you're heading toward being a planted tree, on purpose a planted tree. Teach your kids the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God on tape or on CD. Get yourself planted. Then he said this. He said, number 5, do meditate in the Bible day and night. Now, he gave us 3 don'ts. He gives us a couple do's to help us what? Get planted on purpose. Why? So we can prosper. He says in Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2, he says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, he's telling us that we should not only read the Word of God, get into the Word of God, we ought to be thinking about it. Can I tell you what keeps some of you from cracking up? Read your Bible, then think about what you read. Read your Bible, and then think about what you read. You're not going to believe this. There are a lot of teachers in the building. You students, did you know that when we gave you something to read, we didn't want you just to read it to say that you read it. We kind of wanted you to think about it. I know that's not occurred to you, and I know that is very deep education philosophy there. We wanted you to read it, and then we wanted you to think about it. That will help you pass the test. It really will. That will help you if you will read it and then think about it. That's exactly what the Lord's saying here. He's saying if you want to be planted, you get into the Word of God, and then you meditate. You meditate on the Word of it. That's what you think about. So you're going to crack up if you don't get into the Bible and think about the Bible. Get in the Bible, read it, then think about what you read. Think about what God told you to do. Think about what God commanded you to do. Think about what God said when you read in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Think about what God said in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Say, oh, Brother Owens, these evil thoughts that keep coming in my brain. Well, fill your brain with the Word of God and meditate on it. Think about it and think about it. Hey, when evil thoughts come into your mind, think about the Word of God. Think about the Word of God. What are we doing? Trying to get you planted. If I can get you away from the evil counsel and the evil friendship and the criticism and the negative and the wrong kind of casual setting with the wrong kind of people, and we can get you to reading the Word of God and thinking about the Word of God, we're heading toward this thing of being planted on purpose. When it talks about meditating here, here's what it's telling us. There's some of you that are farmers. And this is what a cow does. A cow will chew on some grass. It'll chew it. It'll chew it for a while. And then, eventually, that cow will swallow that grass. Later on, if that cow so chooses to do so, he can gag that grass back up out of his belly and chew it some more. I know a couple people who do that with tobacco. You chew that grass, and the cow chews the grass. He swallows it. Later on, he thinks, I'd like to have a little more of that. He chokes it back up. He chews it, squeezes some more nutrients out of it. He can swallow it again. Later on, up she comes. That's exactly what God is telling you and I we're supposed to do with the Word of God. You're to read it. You chew on it for a while. Swallow it. Meditate on it. Bring it back up. Think about it again. Can I tell you how some of the sermons preached around here would revolutionize your life? If you'd not only hear them on Sunday, but you'd meditate on them on Monday and on Tuesday. You know, I'm shocked. I'm shocked at how difficult some of you are.
Yes, sir.
I'm shocked at how difficult some of the Christians in this building are. I can preach to you a life-changing, revolutionizing sermon. One person in the building gets it and says, that's it. They go out, they conquer their sin, and wow, we see an amazing change. You sit there, it doesn't affect you at all. And you've got the same problem they had. Why did they change and not you? It wasn't the sermon, evidently. It wasn't the Word of God, evidently. I'll tell you what happens. Some people, they hear a sermon that's a powerful sermon and it's packed full of the Word of God, a sermon that could revolutionize the life of a person. They take it, they listen to it, and boy, they start chewing on that thing. They say, God, I want to get everything out of this I can. And they don't listen to it just on Sunday morning, hit Route 11 out here, turn the truth off, turn the Holy Spirit off, and go about their way and say, I was at church today, it's over. Hey, the truth of the Word of God's never to be over in your life. Boy, you should have thought about it on the way home and thought about it that night and thought about it on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday. Take the truth of God and let it revolutionize your life. But somehow we've got this uncanny ability to hear a truth. It's a specific truth. It's powerful enough to change your life. You hear it, you turn it off, and instead of swallowing it and bringing it up later, you spit it out. You didn't swallow your cud and digest it and meditate on it. You just said, okay, I'll chew on it while I have to, but then I'm going to spit it out. That is not going to get into my life any deeper than what it already has. But God said, if you want to be planted, then you'll be planted on purpose. You stay away from the counsel, the advice of the ungodly. You stay away from the wrong kind of friends. You stay away from sitting around at home or sitting in your backyard or sitting down at the restaurant with critical, negative, evil people. You get into the Word of God. You not only read it, but you digest it and you meditate on it. And He says, and He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. That's what God wants. He wants you planted. Trees by a river, they soak up water. They get that prosperity. You as a Christian, you need to be like a tree. A prosperous Christian is not easily moved by the devil. A tree, a Christian that's deep rooted, that does what I just told you, they're not easily moved. The devil's lies don't affect them easily. They just keep on going. A prosperous tree is a stable tree. A prosperous tree is one that handles the storms of life far better. You take a tree that's been full of termites. You take a tree that's had a woodpecker tearing into it. A little bit of a storm and a little bit of wind comes. They're splitting. You fear that they're going to fall over. Where's Evan Barnes? There's my chainsaw maniac. If there's such thing as chainsaw Olympics, Evan Barnes would win the chainsaw Olympics. But don't be around him while he's running the chainsaw. get dumb bunny Olympics too. We had some trees out at our house, and a couple of them, Brother Tim Brown came out. And where you at, Brother Brown? Oh, there you are. Brother Brown came out about a year and a half ago or so and took a tree down because we were afraid a tree that was rotting was going to fall on our house. Then we discovered that we had a few more. Brother Evan Barnes came out and cut down a couple trees and fortunately had them fall away from the house. It worried me later on. He said, you know, preacher, you just never know which way one of those is going to fall. I'm thinking, oh, Evan, don't tell me that. Yeah, but those fell the right way. Listen to me now. You take a tree that's eaten up by termites. You take a tree that's had that woodpecker invited into its branches. You take a tree that's rotting and its roots are not healthy. When the storm comes, when the difficulties of life come, you got to watch out. Those trees may fall on somebody and hurt them. And there's some of you, you're not planted and you're dangerous. You're not planted, you're not stable, and you're dangerous. You're dangerous to your husband, you're dangerous to your wife, you're dangerous to your family, you're dangerous to your church, you're dangerous to the testimony of the cause of Jesus Christ. Why? You're not planted. Are you going to fall and hurt someone? You're to be like a tree planted by the... what are you supposed to be? I wanted to quote it exactly. Doesn't look like I'm going to get that done. By the rivers of water. That's what you're supposed to be. We should not be a danger to others, but we should be a blessing to others, providing comfort and shade. You see, it's time for some of us to get planted. What do? Well, there's some things you don't do, and then there's some things that you do, and you're supposed to do. But wait a minute. It's time for some of you to actually get planted over some things. Good. Let me see if I can make it a little more practical to you. There's some people in here. It's time for you to stop running from some issues in your life. Stop running. Stop uprooting and running all the time. It's time for some of you to face yourself emotionally, look yourself right square in the eyeball and say, you know what, I'm going to have to get me fixed. It's time for some of you to stop running. Can I tell you something? Every time you run from the reality of your problem, you take your problem with you. You take your problem with you. If you have a flaw in your Christianity, if you have a flaw in your character, you can go anywhere you want, but you're taking you with you. You're taking you with you. Virtually, it's time for some of you to grab the bull by the horns, and the bull is you. And look you right square in the face and say, you know something? I've got to get me fixed. It's time for me to get me fixed. You need to get planted in some of your problems and planted in your Christianity and planted in your behavior and planted in your emotions. I want to talk to you about some things that I think will help you if you'll listen to me. When the Lord talks about being planted, He's talking about being planted deep and strong and stable as a Christian. But let me tell you some things that I think will help you. Some of you need to get planted in regard to where you live. Get planted. I'm talking about your house. Your home. You know, people just move around way too much. We move around too much. I really think this. I think that those of you that have the privilege, you live in America, you get to buy a house. Buy you a house and buy it and plant yourself. You'll be more stable that way. You'll be more stable that way. If you're renting, well, fine. Just stop hopping all over the place. Now, now I'm not saying there are not people in here that might not need to make a move of some sort. I often recommend that a young couple get them a starter home. And later on, they move up to another home. But goodness gracious, folks, we all need to get our realtor's licenses the way it is anymore. And I'm not talking about for servicing others. I'm talking about for servicing yourself. You save yourself thousands of dollars. You just jump all over the place constantly. You know, again, I turn to the gray hairs. They'll tell you. They'll get someplace, live in a house 25, 30, 35, 40 years. They plant themselves. Now, there's some stability in planting yourself. And again, there are times when people that are in their senior years, maybe they need to get into a home that is on one level. They may have lived in a house for 25 or 30 years, but it's got stairs in it. It's not safe. I can understand why they would make a change like that. But I'm not talking about that kind of a change. I'm talking about the fact that we'll hop all over the place. We'll live here for a little while, and there for a little while, and here for a little while, and there for a little while, and here for a little while, there for a little while. I got to be right back here. No, our problem is we're unstable. We're unstable. Plant yourself. Plant yourself. Slow down when you pick your house and pick the one where you could live in it for a long time. You know, all the cost of all the changes and all the cost of the realtor fees and all the cost of everything that goes into it, that'll cost you an arm and a leg. Now listen, you say, well, I can make money off of my house. Did you know there's more to life than just making money? And again, I have advised some of our people to downsize. They went into the bank and the bank said, sure, we'll give you $400,000, but they couldn't afford a $400,000 payment. They thought they could, but they couldn't. And I said, you need to downsize. So there's some people that may need to downsize, but I'm just telling you folks, this thing of hopping all over the place continuously in where we live, that will not bring stability to a home. And so what I'm talking about getting planted. Your home is really not all about the real estate market. Did you know that? Your home is the place where there's stability. Your home is the place where your teenagers know where you live and they come home. Home is the place where the husband, he gets off work and he can't wait to get home. You get too caught up in the house, it's really the home, and we need stability. I just say to you, you know what we need to do? Some of us need to get planted about where we live. Planted there. What else? Your job. You know, I wonder why people in this society are always cracking up. It's falling apart. We didn't used to have as much of it, and I'll tell you why. People used to move into a home pretty well, live there. Matter of fact, there are some that grandma lived there and grandpa lived there, and then the house was passed down to mom and dad, and then mom and dad lived there, and mom and dad were going to leave it to the next kids, and there was a stability. It said, this is where we live. And there was a stability about them. The same thing about a job. Whatever happened to the word seniority and that being important? Ed Davis, how long have you been a teacher? 31 years. Brother Davis and I were talking, and we were talking about his future. He doesn't look like it, but there'll be a day, days in the future, years, 5, 6, 7 years, he's going to retire. 5 years. I told him, I said, you better stay right where you're teaching. You got your seniority, stay there and teach there to the end. You say, Brother Owens, everybody out there's panicked all the time. Well, I'll tell you why. They don't know where they're going to live from year to year. They don't know where they're going to work from year to year. Is it quiet in here, or is it just me? You all didn't put me on fast forward and I or something here. I'm not on mute, am I? And I'm not saying there are not times when there ought to be job changes. I think there can be. But the thing of going from job to job to job to job to job to job to job, you're creating insecurity. You're not planted. You say, I'm looking for the perfect job. It doesn't exist. And if it did, when they employed you, you just blew their record. I went to Bible college. When I got to Bible college, I got one job, and I worked that job all the way through Bible college. I had opportunities to do other things, but you know something? I had a wife and 4 kids, and they needed the stability of me not being all worried about my job all the time. I worked at the First Baptist Church. I was there for a total of 18 years. Just stayed at it. And you want to know something? I want this to be my last job. I'm looking forward to one day being able to say I pastored the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church for 30 or 35 years. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want that. I want the stability of it. I want my wife to have that stability. My wife, she said to me, she said, honey, what will I do if anything happens to you? I said, well, we may have to be concerned about what happens to you if something happens to me, but while I'm alive, I want her to have stability. That's what I want for her. Stability. Stability. Being planted. We need to get planted in where we live, and we need to get planted in our job. I'd recommend this. I recommend you get planted in your church. Get planted. Now, if you're here and you say, Brother Owens, I just don't like this church and I don't like you. All right, I can see that. I don't like me either. You think you got it tough? I'm with me all the time. Then what you better do is go find you a Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing, church that's got standards, church that'll preach the truth. Go find it, join it, live happily ever after then. Now, I don't want you to go anywhere. I'd love you to stay here. If you want, I'll change everything I preach to keep you. I see you got that joke. You didn't get the one I told at the beginning of the service, but you got that one. You need to get planted. Your kids need the consistency. Your marriage needs the consistency. I have had the privilege of being in three churches in my life. You have to understand something. Church, and I hate to use this word, church is my occupation. Really, it's my calling, but I'll use the word occupation. I got saved when I was 16 years old. I went to the same church from the time I got saved all the way up to the point that God called me off to Bible college. When I got to Bible college, I stayed at that church for 18 years. Then God took me from being an assistant pastor to allowing me the privilege of being the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Now this is where I want to stay. This is my church. This is my church and this is where I want to stay. Look, there are times when people need to make church changes. I realize that. There are times when there are doctrinal problems. There are times when churches deteriorate. They get off the old time way and the old paths and they liberalize. And I think people ought to pull out of those churches. I do. But it ought to hurt when you do it. Because, hey, I love it. One of our families was recently talking with me and their church had changed and it had gone the wrong direction. And they said to me, preachers, it's so hard. We're moving here because we know we've got to have our family in a red, hot, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. But it's hard. It hurts our heart. We want to stay there forever. God bless you. I'm glad you felt that way. When you pull out of that thing that's going liberal, it ought to tear your heart out because you should have said, we're planted here. But if you're planted in the Word of God, you'll make changes if you need to. There are times when you have to make a change, but I'm just telling you, there's some of you, you need to stop this thing. And I'm not trying to get you in my church. I'm trying to get you stable as a Christian. There's some people in here, you need to stop saying, well, this is my church. No, it's not my church. I'm going to go somewhere else. Stop doing that to yourself. Stop doing it to your wife. Stop doing it to your husband. Stop doing it to your kids. Stop doing it to your church. Get in or get out. And I don't want you to get out. I want you to get in. But I'm just telling you, stabilize. Plant yourself on purpose. Get planted. Why? Prosperity's on its way if we can get you planted. God said, you're going to be like a tree. Planted. Planted. Planted in your home, your job, your church. Some of you need to get in one of the... We have, I think, 20-some, 22, 23, 24 adult Sunday school classes around here. It's time for some of you adults to find you a Sunday school class and get yourself planted in that adult Sunday school class. Get in there. Hey, if Brother Bajan's going to be your Sunday school teacher, get in there and make Brother Bajan your Sunday school teacher. Say, this is my Sunday school class. If it's Brother Bush's class, get in there and make him that. They say, this is my class. If it's Joe Cowling's class, say, that's my class. That's where I'm going. Brother Joe's going to be my Sunday school teacher. Get yourself planted. Don't be hopping all over the place. Well, I don't like that Sunday school teacher. You know something? You're going to be like an Easter bunny. You're going to be hopping everywhere. Won't you get in there and learn how to get along with people? And well, they rub me the wrong way. Well, Sugar Plum, we're all going to rub you the wrong way sooner or later. Well, you get in there and work out the problems between you and somebody. Get in there and stay in there. Pick a class and be loyal. Pick a class and believe in it and stay there. Grow old there. Hey, there's some of you. You need to plant yourself in regard to your marriage. Let it be known. Tell your wife, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here with you. There's way too much of this threatening that goes on. I'm leaving you. Plant yourself in your marriage. Get planted. You said when you got married, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do us part, it's time for you to plant yourself. You said that you were going to when you got married. sink your roots deep. Get planted in marriage. Till death do us part. I have a joke for you. A preacher who was what you might call humor impaired attended a conference to help encourage and better equip pastors for their ministries. Among the speakers were many well-known and dynamic speakers. One such boldly approached the pulpit and gathered the entire crowd's attention and said, "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman that was not my wife." The crowd was shocked. He followed up by saying, "And that woman was my mother." And the crowd burst into laughter, and he delivered the rest of his talk, and it went over so well as a result of his humor. The preacher, who was humor impaired, he decided the next week that he needed to give that humor a try at his church in his pulpit. As he surely approached the pulpit that Sunday morning, he tried to rehearse the joke in his head. He suddenly seemed a bit foggy on the punchline. He got to the microphone. He said loudly, "The greatest years of my life were spent in the arms of another woman that was not my wife." The congregation inhaled half the air in the room. After standing there for about 10 seconds, in stunned silence, trying to recall the second half of the joke, the pastor finally blurted out, "And I can't remember who she was." Obviously humor impaired. Get planted in your marriage. Get planted. Get planted in your marriage. Those of you who are on your second marriage or your third, get planted. This one's a keeper. Stop running from the problems and solve them. You know, children need planted parents. They need planted parents. Tell you a story. I'll mention no names. I'll tell you a very unique story. This week, one of our men had the opportunity to do some soul winning. In his soul winning experience, he began to tell another adult man about Jesus Christ and salvation. The man said, I don't understand. Our man said, you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He'll save you from today forever. You'll be saved. It'll all be cared for. And you will be secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. The man said, I don't understand. He said, if you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, ask Him to forgive you of your sin at that moment, He'll come into your heart. You'll be saved and you'll be saved forever. You'll never have to doubt it. It's yours forever. The man said, I'm not getting it. Our man said, when I was growing up, I did some things that were not good. I did some things that were bad. I lived in the home with my daddy. I never worried about whether my dad would forsake me or not. He said, my dad was not, he was not glad that I ever did wrong, but I never worried whether my dad would forsake me because once I was born, and I'll use the name Smith. He said, once I was born a Smith, I was always a Smith, and that would never change. And the other man began to weep. He said, I just don't understand that. He said, why? He said, well, he said, my dad forsook me when I was a kid and I've not seen him for years. And I guess that's why that's hard for me to understand that anybody could have that kind of security. And parents, you listen to me. Help your kids to grow up with a planted mom, a planted dad, in a planted home, in a planted church, so your kids can get them some Christian backbone, so they can understand some security. Some security. They need that security. The man said, I'm having a hard time grasping the security of the believer. Why? Because he had never experienced the security of a mom and a dad that was planted. He couldn't understand the doctrine of a heavenly Father saving once and for all because he had not had the privilege of living in a home where dad, a picture of God, was planted. Our kids need security. Planted. Hey, get your yourself planted. Your kids go to Martinsburg Christian Academy, get planted. We're going to go. We're not going to go. We're going to go. We're not going to go. We're going to put them in. We're going to pull them out. Get yourself planted. Get yourself planted. Say, maybe we'll have the finances. Maybe we won't. Figure it out. Get yourself planted and just get it done. Just get it done. Doctrinally, get yourself planted. Believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Plant yourself. Believe in separation from the world. Plant yourself. You believe that salvation cannot be lost, which it cannot be. Plant yourself. You're a Baptist. Plant yourself. You believe in the Holy Spirit of God and it has nothing to do with speaking in some gibberish, unknown tongue. Plant yourself. You believe in the old time religion. Plant yourself. I'm planted. I know what I believe. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. I'm planted. I'm planted, and not arrogantly, but you won't sway me on much. Why? Long time ago, I found out what the Bible said, and I said, I'm planting myself here. I'm locking in. I'll not let the trends of the world or the trends of Christianity or even the attack of the devil sway me. I'm planted. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, remember, God said, you want prosperity? You're going to have to be planted. I'll give you prosperity if I can get you planted, but let me give you some warnings. You're never going to be planted if you seek your counsel from the ungodly. You're never going to be planted if you are friends with carnal, worldly Christians or the lost. You're never going to be planted if you're sitting around and you're being critical. You're around evil, critical people. You're never going to do it. He said, but what you do need to do is get in your Bible and get out of the chat room. Get in your Bible. And then meditate on the Bible so it'll actually change you instead of doing your little ditty of, I'll pop by the church, let the preacher preach to me, but I'll leave here the same person I came in. That's not what you came here to do. Well, it's not what you were supposed to come here to do. He said, now, if you'll get rid of the negatives and you'll put in the positive, then you can be planted. Then God said this. He said, but the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. We used to bale hay, and I don't know what you all call it, but when we'd bale hay, you get up in the hay mound, you stack some hay, there's a little bit of hay that would fall out of the bale, and there was kind of a what I'd call a hay dust. We call that the chaff. One of the things you don't want to have happen if you're baling hay with a bunch of guys is for somebody to grab a whole handful of that chaff and put it down your drawers. Woo! That's called being chapped from the chaff. And that was one of the things on the farm that happened every once in a while. Somebody come by and do that to you and you go, oh no, this is not good. The chaff. You take a handful of that chaff, that what I'd call hay dust, you throw it in the wind, it just blows everywhere. Just blows everywhere. God said, some of you are like that handful of hay or straw dust instead of being like a tree. Says the ungodly. Now, we could see it as the ungodly being two things. Number one, the lost, they are in a mess. They really have no stability. But then secondly, it could be the people that are not living like God that are saved. Unstable people or unplanted people do not develop godliness as fast as planted people. When somebody's got one, you take, for instance, in the church. When you've got one foot out of the church and one foot in the church and you're always trying to say, am I staying, am I going? Am I staying, am I going? Your life's not changing.
Right.
The people that grow the fastest are the ones that said, this is my Sunday school class. This is my church. That's my school. This is my preacher. These are my friends. I'm here. You're going to grow.
Yes, sir.
But when you're always doing this, you're not growing. When you're always in and out, in and out, in and out. And some of you, what you need to stop and do is just look at yourself emotionally. That's the way a lot of you are. I'm up, I'm down. I'm hot, I'm cold. I'm in, I'm out. I'm for it, I'm against it. Just constantly like this. And you're never growing.
Right.
If you don't believe me in regard to planting, I'll tell you what you do. Plant. Mrs. Owens loves flowers. She loves trees. She was telling me the other day, she said, I'm gonna replant some of my hostas. She said, but I want to get a full part of the year out of them because if I dig them up now and transplant them, I'm not going to get anything out of them until next year. You know what she's saying? Something that's not planted, it gets shocked when it's pulled up out of the dirt and relocated somewhere. It takes it a while to reroot and to regenerate some fruit. If you get yourself planted, you'd be shocked at how much more you'd learn and how much more you'd grow. You say, you're trying to keep me here? No, I'm trying to help you get planted so you can be prosperous. I already told you. If you don't like me, if you don't like the church, if you don't think we have what you need, find somebody that has it. I love you. I'm your friend. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you to get planted. The Bible says the ungodly are not so. Are not what? They're not planted. Therefore, they're not prosperous. Their leaf withers. They don't have root. Hey, listen. If you're not saved, I'd recommend you get saved. Did you know that if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, once Jesus is planted in you, He's planted. You say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. The minute He comes in, He's planted. You can't get Him out. Planted. He says, I'm here to stay. Planted. You know something? Once you get saved and God, He sets aside a mansion in heaven for you, that's your mansion. It's a done deal. You know, once we die and we go to heaven, we're planted. We're planted. If you're not saved, I'd get planted. I trust Jesus Christ today. But the Bible says this. Blessed, happy, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I just say to you, get planted. On purpose. On purpose. And as a result, you will see prosperity. That's what God promises. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please, why don't you get saved today? You can't save yourself. Nobody ever has. Nobody ever will. Just get yourself saved. Jesus will do it. He'll plant Himself inside you. And He said then, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the planting of Jesus Christ in the heart of a Christian. A person that's saved. Here's the question. If you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? You say, I'm not sure of that. I don't know that for a fact. Then let me pray for you. Who here would say, Brother Owens, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I see hands already. You say, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. If you're not saved, here's what's going to happen. In just a moment, we're going to have what we call an altar call. In a second, we'll all stand. In a moment, the choir will begin to sing. The men that are sitting on this platform will leave this platform. They'll stand down front at the end of each aisle. And if you're not saved, leave your seat, whether you're in the balcony or you're on the main floor. You walk toward the front. You walk up to one of the men standing down front and say, I want to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how Jesus Christ can come into your heart and save you. He'll be planted there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and you'll be on your way to heaven. A done deal. How many here would say, Brother Owens, there's some things that you said this morning. I see it. I've got to get some things settled. I got to get some things settled about where I'm living and my church membership. And I've got to get some things settled about my Sunday school class. And hey, there's some of you need to settle some things about the ministry you're in around here. Stop hopping around. Get in there. I need a bus captain to say, I'm here. I'm here to stay. That's it. I'm going to captain my route. You say, maybe it's in your marriage. Somebody here needs to say today, I'm planted. I'm going to get planted over this thing. I'm doing it once and for all. I'm going to make it. Planted. Who here would say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart. I'm saved, but God has spoken to my heart about some things, and I want to be planted. And you'll raise your hand. Amen. God bless you. If you need this altar, you feel free to use it. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet.